Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are in the End Times Friday. Which is fun. We've had actually over because of our opportunity with Eric and Rabbi from Israel, we were able to actually do the last four because of all the things that were happening. And it just so happened we could tape them in terms of catching up on all that is happening in Israel. We'll give a little bit of a brief update, but we'll have them on again soon as they process it. We know, and I listened to it. We had a little bit of a technical audio problem last time with them and with the Zoom. With Israel, we have to use Zoom. We can't use our normal software. It looked like it was doing fine, but it wasn't. So you can kind of, you know, it's just a little bit hard to hear. It's probably better on the podcast and even on the YouTube, but we'll try to fix that up and make sure it's catch up a little bit more with them. Lots going on with what's going on in the end times. We've been processing when we're not doing Israel on this issue of be careful not to be deceived. And the premise is, remember, think of the simplicity of it, is that deception is following things that aren't true and believing they are true. And so for us, it's really a part of it, and probably the more significant part of it, is what's the spiritual truth going on of things. So we can look at things that, you know, that they occur. You know, we know, okay, we can know a few things that happen in Israel, or like I'll talk briefly today about the economy. But it's really then, are we willing to let God reveal truth to us about what's really going on and what is coming ahead, that if we believe certain things today, we may assume our path, our decisions, what we will do or not do based on what we think is true. And part of it, and this is what I'm trying to get to the deeper level of this, is that you can look at information and you can say, you know, some of that seems to be true. See, it's some of that, because we know we're in a world of what we call spin and fake news, you know, and all the terminology of it, and that and we can see it because, you know, it's kind of
right?
Yeah, because it's funny, you can take an event and you could turn on the news stations, the same event, exactly the same event, and you can listen to them and they all give a different viewpoint of that of that event, and they're spinning it the way they want to spin it. And one thing we would like to easily say and make sure that everybody understands, that there isn't a best news station, there isn't a political party that does better than the others. Everybody's spinning it.
Right.
So that's why for us, it's not, are you, you know, a conservative or not conservative, or are you this or are you that? Rather, do you have a heart yourself to let God show you truth?
Right. And we've said before, don't be pulled right. Don't be pulled left. Be pulled up.
Right.
Right. We want to be the ones who keep our eyes on what is true and what Jesus is revealing to us as truth, not being, you know, not being drawn by what everyone else is saying.
Yeah. And the deception really is in the interpretation. So that you can look at certain things, you know, like I'll give you a simple example, which is a little bit of an update on Israel, but they did, you know, have the peace treaty with Gaza, and it was a ceasefire. We'll learn from, which by the way, they said in this one, we had some technical problems with the audio, they said, look, a ceasefire isn't going to last, because the philosophy, the mission, the religious fervor behind it is, we'll agree to a temporary action, but we're going to keep coming after you. He said, so this isn't, we're getting peace.
Right.
We just have a cessation of fighting at the moment.
It's funny. I'm just going to insert here. It reminds me like of a parenting thing. You know, I always tell people, when I'm mentoring with moms, I'll talk to them about parenting for character transformation, not behavior modification. The ceasefire is the behavior modification. There has been no character transformation here. The hearts are the same right now.
It's a good analogy. And by the way, and this is, you know, this is a side note, is that as you're parenting, obviously you are starting as youngsters, toddlers, mm-hmm. you know, behavior, you know, will you learn, you know, good things, boundaries, what's good, what's not. And you learn that through learning the behavior of it. As you get older, and particularly in the teenagers, and as they get ready to leave into college or their career, it's about the heart. Is that it's not about, and this is, and I can give you a great example of this, is if only you teach behavior, you actually set up the opportunity for the complete opposite when they don't have to conform to that behavior. And that's called rebellion. And I'll do X because I didn't ever learn the heart of following God, basically. As a parent, and Linda and I are doing this as grandparents, is we're assisting our grandchildren to learn to have the heart to follow God.
Yes.
And we're not focused on behavior. Behavior will indicate mm-hmm. how they're doing with this, but it's, do you have the heart of it?
Right.
And if we can help you receive that, mm-hmm. You are going to be transformed and your life is, you know, going to be grand. This is just an interesting statistic that kind of demonstrates this, is that this is back particularly in the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. There were a lot of Southern churches that would outlaw drinking mm-hmm. For their parishioners and say, you can't drink, don't drink. If you do, you're a sinner, and we're gonna come against you if you do. So it was a behavior thing.
Right.
Don't do it. Okay. So kids, you know, would be under that issue. The largest, when they went to school, the largest group that became seriously alcoholic was that group.
Wow.
Because they were repressed so much on behavior that when they received freedom and they could rebel with that, they actually went the other direction. And it's kind of the way you're talking about, is that you can help, you know, there's behavior things that you have to do, but as they grow, it's more about their heart and do they understand what it means and what holiness.
Them to God, as he transforms them and actually shows them these things too.
Right, right. And so as we were talking about deception, it's really kind of the same thing, is that the news, the plot, the parties, religious people, even, you know, groups of Christians, they're trying to force us into a behavior pattern. Of here's what I want you to believe is true, and I want you to do what I tell you about that. Mm-hmm. And God says, well, you got to be careful, particularly when the world is getting trickier, mm-hmm. and the source of the information is getting less and less reliable.
Right.
Then you got to let me, God speaking, help you work through deception, which is easy to fall into. And as we are headed toward a time where there's going to be lots of interesting changes and stress points, and that's why we keep talking about these end times, is that the signs are there could be interesting things that are being set up mm-hmm. for the one world government, which would be the beginning of the tribulation. So we can see it today even more so than even 10, 15 years ago, is that because there's groups of people now actively and verbally stating that objective. Mm-hmm. It used to be underground. They were doing it, but they were doing it surreptitiously. But now, in the last 5 years, they've come out publicly
right.
and stated it. And you can go to websites and look at it. That's,
you can. It's all right there in the site.
Yeah, yeah. And the big one is the World Economic Forum, WEF. Mm-hmm. And they've gathered. They just had their conference in Davos, which they do annually. They bring the big players, and we're talking about governments, educators, and corporate CEOs. Mm-hmm. together with the purpose of we are building a one world government. And so it's like, well, there you go. You got a group doing that, and you can see the possibility of it and the capability of it. So it's possible. And again, Jesus tells us, I don't know the time. Even the Father hasn't told me. I don't know the time. So I can't tell you. So don't think you know. Mm-hmm. But guess what? It's going to happen, and watch the signs.
Right.
So that's what we're doing. But in any event, is the world getting more tricky? Yes. Is it easier to be deceived? Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's really the point we're trying to make, is that God is asking us to review and have a heart to not be deceived, since it's so easy to be deceived. And we read, remember, Paul says at the end, there's going to be a lot of believers fall away mm-hmm. and wind up going into deception. And what we're called to do is to warn people of that and invite them. And it's not that complicated, because obviously we just have to go to the one that knows the truth.
Right, right.
So I just wanted to start with a slight update on Israel. The hostages have been started to be released. Hamas, and again, I think that they're not honorable people. They stopped, they said, we're going to stop because.
Right.
And Israel and Trump stepped in and said, well, okay, if you don't do it by this, we're talking about, mm-hmm. it would be last Saturday now when this airs, then we're coming after you. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, I guess we'll release them. It's interesting, to see that. And there is a discussion, and this will be a question we're going to ask Eric and Rabbi. There's actually a big discussion about taking Iran's nuclear capability and trying to remove it in some way. Mm-hmm. U.S. and Israel are working to work together. And it looks like actually, like the Sunnis, the Saudis and Jordan and Egypt would actually support that. So it's interesting.
That's very interesting, right?
That there's discussion going on there, and Israel's decided to remain in Syria, because remember, Syria had the rebellion, but there's still, Shiite Muslims who want to eliminate Israel. But they've said, okay, we'll do a ceasefire right now because we're just trying to get our stuff together, and we're going to stop coming after you at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so Israel, what they did is said, okay, that's fine. We're coming in to stand there. And so their military is going to be in Syria. And all they're doing is just saying, if you start up again,
wow,
we're going to do something immediately.
Right. Ready to respond. Yeah.
And by the way, Syria needs, they need financing and funding and Trump supporting that. Or if you don't want to, then don't take the money, but they need the money, So that's going to happen. There is stuff going on in the north with Hezbollah. They have moved behind the Tani River. There's not active fighting going on, although Israel is still in that neutral, what they call the neutral zone between Israel's border and the Tani River in Lebanon, working to, and they found thousands and thousands of missiles and arms and all kinds of things that they're trying to get rid of. So they're still there, doing that, but there's not a big skirmish there. So at the moment, Israel is not actively fighting anybody at the moment. Doesn't mean they won't quickly, but they're trying to now just kind of stand in various places, south of Syria, Lebanon, to prevent another attack and be much more sensitive to the beginning of an attack. Mm-hmm. And it comes against them. So that'll be fun to do that. And then in the United States,
it's rapid fire in the United States over the last few weeks, right? Lots going on.
Boy, there's lots going on. And you can see, because one thing we've talked about and predicted is that regardless of who got elected, there's going to be chaos.
Yeah.
And, Trump is putting in all these different actions, mm-hmm. what they call executive orders, and move and then, get people in place. And they're start moving, like the government with the Elon Musk, DOGE, trying to do efficiency, came in and shut down USAID mm-hmm. department. And they discovered they're funding a lot of terrorism. And so we're not doing that anymore. Now, when they did that, and again, this is part of the issue of what happens next, is they weren't, and just like everything in life, everything they're doing wasn't awful.
Right.
They were actually doing some good things for American citizens mm-hmm. and providing aid to American citizens, farmers, et cetera.
Right.
But that got cut too.
All of it, yeah.
So now it's, the things that are righteous, what we would consider to be righteous, are you going to bring those back in some way? And that's going to be the interesting thing. But there's lots of opposition to all these changes, and Trump is just going rapid fire. There's, Kathy, this is 2 weeks now. Okay, we're talking 2 weeks.
It feels like it has been a very long time already. The number of things that have come through, right?
By the time this airs, it'll be a month. This is a month. So it's 2-3 weeks now. Today. And this will be more so when this airs. There are 50 lawsuits against all the stuff that Trump's been doing. We're talking 50. They're going to go into the hundreds to cause chaos, mm-hmm. where it's going to be difficult. And the judges can what's called file an injunction. Mm-hmm. And agree to an injunction, no matter who the judge is. So they're not even, you know, this isn't in the Supreme Court stuff. This is way lower than that. Mm-hmm. A judge says an injunction. Now, by the way, because there's different political viewpoints that by judges, it stops. Mm-hmm. They can't not stop. The court just said you have to stop. Mm-hmm. So that prevents them from doing. So then they go and fight the lawsuit. So it's going to be chaotic.
There's going to be a lot of rich attorneys. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And remember, it would have been the same way on the other side.
Right.
So if the other party had got elected, the chaos would be the same. Mm-hmm. And remember, the chaos is because there's a position that I'm taking and I don't have any desire to work anything through. Right. I'm just opposing you because, and I can, and I'm gonna, legally, you know, with all these different things.
Well, and at the purest form, the chaos is because the enemy is working to bring deception and chaos, period, right?
That's the goal, is to keep bringing chaos and deception with, and if you look at the bigger game being played, which I'll talk about with the economy here, is that because of a economic collapse and chaotic living, when it does collapse and the new world government comes back with a way to end the chaos, and be restored economically. And this is what we got to keep understanding. The entire world accepts it willingly.
Right.
So think about that. But the division that exists today mm-hmm. will not be there anymore. And the reason we know that is in Scripture. Mm-hmm. It's not, there's big factions fighting each other because of it. No, the one world government actually starts to be readily accepted. The divisions are all gone. The only ones that don't agree are the remnant. Right. Why? Because we're not deceived. And this is why we're trying to get there is, hey, we got to follow what God has to say and get ready for this. Go ahead. Yeah, you're going to say something.
I was just going to say, even as you're saying that, I'm reminded of the simple truth in the Bible that you can't serve both God and money.
Right.
And how interesting it is that money, the economy, is going to be the thing that unifies the one world government, and only the remnant, those serving God, are going to be the ones that are setting something else different. And so in the most basic form, we see a thread that is throughout the Bible warning us and teaching us at the end of the time, don't let money be what rules you. Don't be drawn in and deceived by that. Don't be deceived by the economy.
Exactly. And one of the deceptions right now is the economy. Mm-hmm. There was a news that put out this a couple of days ago that we are actually, with the true data, we actually are in a recession. And that all of the reporting of the last 4 years economically has all been false.
Wow.
And it's not so. And technically, you know, we're in a recession. Now, you know, right now there's a lot of hope because, you know, but there are things that Trump is doing that is good, but some things may be still problematic, you know, of what he's doing. So I'm just going to give you some information here. This is just about the recession, about the economy. And I want to just say, everybody keep going deeper and don't be deceived with just a simple, everything's fine.
Right.
Number one, all the data has been reported incorrectly. And they're trying to work on what is the real data. 500,000 businesses filed bankruptcy in 2024.
Wow.
10,000 stores closed in 2024, and they project that it'll be 15 to 20,000 2025. Home sales are lower than they were during the Great Recession.
And ridiculously expensive.
And very expensive and being priced out. And inflation, which is related to this, is still strong. It was so strong in January, just came out, that they said the Fed can't cut interest rates because in inflation, what it does is keeps the interest rates high, which means borrowing for business purposes and particularly mortgages. Is high. And then two is that your buying power keeps getting diminished. And that's the other point, is that 70% of the U.S. population is living paycheck to paycheck and barely making it. And they're using credit cards to exist.
Right.
Which
is making the economy look better than it is because they're still spending as if it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as a result, with the debt skyrocketing, both with mortgages and with credit cards. Delinquencies are rising significantly, and the ability to pay them back, you know, because you reach a point where you just can't pay it anymore. You can keep borrowing, but ultimately you can't pay it, and so you get a problem. There are mass layoffs happening all over the country with big companies, particularly because they see economically that they're gonna need to, for the profitability, be able to cut, you know, expenses. So there's lots, and that to me, I guess there's three issues as I describe them. One, the ability to afford your house. Just you have one, but can you afford it? And your ability to keep paying bills when your inflation is taking more and more power away from you, even though you're working, you're under stress. Mm-hmm. And it looks like, and then it's not that easy to sell it, although you could sell it, but what are you going to do next? You know, is that I could sell it, but if I go buy one, I still got to pay a lot of money for it. Or I got to rent, which by the way, is really high as well. And I don't get a tax deduction for that. So that's all interesting. And then number two is that as I look at the potential of employment, and if companies start to lay people off, am I going to get impacted by that? Mm-hmm. And be one of the people that get laid off and then have a hard time in a recession because people are laying people off, your job creation is less and less.
Right.
So I get laid off, but to find another job isn't that easy. Because there's not that many people, you know, looking. Now, of course, if you're in high tech and you're a software person, you no problem there. But a lot of people don't have that privilege. And so then third is that, am I using debt to live on? Mm-hmm. That I can't really meet my monthly expenses, so I use credit card to keep paying for things, but my balance on my credit card keeps getting higher and higher and higher. Now, a little bit of that, which is unfortunate, is that basically people realize that, well, when I reach a point and I can't pay it, we just have companies that call the credit card companies and get it taken care of. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter, you know, per se, but it really does because the pressure is there.
Right.
And to me, that's where the great deception is of the enemy, is that he wants people to live in stress. And to live in anxiety and live.
Financial stress is one of the greatest attacks on marriages, for sure. I mean, that's where you see a lot of things rooted.
Yeah, because Jesus tells us that freedom, financial freedom, is a promise that he gives us, mm-hmm. because he knows the opposite is so burdensome. Okay, why? Well, we talk about adversity, we talk about conflict, we talk about problems, but if people have at the fundamental level, not even anything due to them, where it's so difficult to think about being able to cover your expenses, mm-hmm. and wonder what's going to happen, and I have no savings, and what if my car, you know, has a big problem? What if that, you know, air conditioner breaks and I can't pay for it? What if I get laid off? And then now what? And it's the thought of it, mm-hmm. the pressure of it, the burden of it, the heaviness of it, you know. And I think that's part of what's happening in America, particularly even amongst believers, is that there's so much financial stress that then, and I can now, you know, understand why people would accept it later when the beast comes and the Antichrist with the one world government. If they offer me a solution, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, I know I'm not supposed to do it. No, I know that spiritually this is wrong. A lot of people, by the way, will be deceived even in that. Because the Christians will say there's a false prophet who says, no, this is good. Mm-hmm. And this is godly. And there's a major deception. It's godly, but it's not. God said, that's not me. That's the Antichrist. Think about how big a deception that is. But because it solves my problem and I get released from that heaviness, I'll do it. See, and what we're trying to say is, we understand that today is the day to start working toward not being deceived. Right. And by the way, not being deceived would be, hey, tell me what's happening here. In the world and around my world, with my company, with my finances, with my house, I come to you, Father, and say, lead me to financial freedom.
Right.
And how to live that out and learn it and trust you so that when it really gets to that point, I'm actually fully walking with you and I'm not in the anxiety of that. I'm actually in the joy of walking with you with the provision of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we got to learn right now. And so don't get scared about it. It can be, I have that pressure. I feel it. Okay. Let's go to God and say, God, lead me to financial freedom. And he says, by the way, I promise you, I will.
Right.
And that's where the, that's where the beauty of God's promises and the power.
And there in that will require a level of surrender too, because I think a lot of times when people, as God is leading them into financial freedom, their desire is that he would lead them into a windfall, and he is going to lead them to be stewards before he leads them to a windfall.
Exactly.
To steward what he has given them. And so there will be some surrender of things as well to step into financial freedom.
Be, you know, part of it would be, he says in Malachi 3, you can test me in this, but I'm going to test your heart, God speaking. Are you willing to be generous and give to the work of God? If you are, you'll be blessed. And you can't say to me, when you bless me, I'll give. He says, sorry. This is about trust, and you're going to have to demonstrate that you trust me by giving, and this is universal. If you do, I'm going to bless you in your storehouses, and you'll be in financial freedom. And he says this, and this is in verse 12 of Malachi 3, 10 to 12. We read in Malachi 10, you can test me, and I'll bless you. 12 says, by the way, I'm not going to let Satan steal it from you, which is a big deal, is that then I'll have wisdom going forward as he puts me in that freedom. How do I stay there? And don't chase, you know, the wind and chase things that aren't of God. And then actually I caused myself to lose it because I didn't follow God afterwards, right, as he did it. So as we, you know, set this up, and we'll talk more about this over the next weeks, we're going to keep discussing the aspect of deception and what it looks like. And the only thing we can say, just like we just read about the economy, is that on the surface, it seems like everybody says it's great, but there's things underneath it all that demonstrate that, well, it's not great. And what does that really look like? And what does that mean for me? And what do I need to understand for 2025 as I go forward and think about? And what, see, I think where God wants us to move to is, first, I got to show you that I can provide you financial freedom, regardless of what's going on in the world. Even in a recession, I can take care of that. No problem, because circumstances don't limit him at all. And then get ready to, as I start to move you toward thinking about what may be coming, I'm going to give you instruction as to prepare for that personally, as well as with your small group and with your community, relative to being able to walk with me, particularly if and when the one world government puts in place, and I don't want you to take the mark of the beast. And so this will be all interesting stuff. And again, my perspective, we do talk about the trend of it, but it's really always today is that, okay, probably the end isn't coming this year. Okay. Well, there's lots of things happening. I kind of need to make sure I'm not deceived. Mm-hmm. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you tell us, that you promise us, that you'll give us your provision, that we can trust you, that we can learn what it means to walk with you. And the big challenge that you're saying to us is do not be deceived. Mm-hmm. And so we pray that we won't, that we'll have our eyes open, and all we have to do is walk with you and let you show us that it's not about following anybody but you, and then together coming to truth and not being deceived. And may we all have that heart, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.